Glory to God. We're going to go to Luke 1 is where we'll end up starting. We've been talking about training for reigning. We've talked about righteousness, being in our right place, being where we need to be. We've talked about the ground of our heart, abiding in Him and abiding in the Word. We've talked about how we hear. We've talked about also what are we looking at? Where are we focused on? And so when I was listening to this, I thought, you know, the little monkeys who have the cover their eyes, cover their ears, cover their mouth. Today we're going to talk about speaking. Glory to God. And what a day to talk about declaration. Today we are going to make a declaration. In Job 22, 28, it says, "You will decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. And the light of God's favor shall shine upon you." As kings, as those who are reigning, we're called to declare or to decree things. It's one of the primary functions that a king does. And it says that Jesus has made us kings and priests. And so we are called to declare. On July 4th, as every year, we celebrate the Declaration of Independence. But it was the day that we declared our independence. It is not the day that we became independent in the natural. King George did not even recognize our independence until 1782. And the last British soldier actually left America in 1783. I've been really mindful to not say 19, because every time that I think it, that's what I think about. 1783, the last British soldier. So we were declaring our independence. Those 56 men came together, they signed it, of the 13 colonies represented, they signed the declaration, but it didn't actually take place till several years later. On December 25th, we celebrate Christmas. Well, if you go back and study out history, December 25th is not the day Jesus was born. Jesus was born somewhere near September 25th. Hey, that's Jesse West's birthday. See, I remembered, even the right day. Normally I change the day of her birthday. But what was likely happening on December 25th, we find in Luke chapter 1. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the one that I like best. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.'" Now the part we're getting to. "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold the maiden servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." So right here we see that December 25th was the day that the angel spoke the word of the Lord to Mary, and she conceived the word. We are celebrating the declaration that Jesus was spoken into the womb of Mary. And so we see here, I just heard Mark 11 immediately. We see here that believing she received when it was prayed, it was a done deal. It was a done deal. You see, when we talked about this, I think it was last Sunday, that very scripture, that no thing is impossible with God. What is that? No rhema. No word of God is without power. No word from God is without power. If God has spoke a rhema word to you, power is present to get that thing done. Every time he speaks a command in the word of God, we see that the power is present for that to be taken place. He said in want to see which one I'm going to first here. Actually, Jesse mentioned this very thing today. When the boat was crossing to the other side, he commanded them, cross over to the other side. She even mentioned this. He intended to pass them by. Why? There was power in the command to get them to the other side. There was power in the command to get them to the other side. The story that happened before that said, you feed them. It was Jesus feeding the multitude. He said, you feed them. You feed these 5,000. There was power in that command of you feed them to feed the 5,000. Why did Jesus take the bread, pull it apart, and give it to the disciples to feed them? Because the power was in the command of you feed them. When Jesus was in the boat, or when Jesus was outside of the boat, and Peter said, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said to him, come. There was power in the command for him to step out of the boat and walk on the water. And the moment he let go of the command, you see, this command that we're talking about here is the word rhema. It is a spoken, quickened word of God. Rhema describes something that is spoken clearly, vividly, in undeniable language, spoken in unmistakable, unquestionable, certain, and definite terms. It's an instruction or command spoken by Holy Spirit that is supernaturally dropped on the inside of a believer's mind, causing it to supernaturally come alive and impart special power or direction to that believer. It's like a battery in a car. If you are able to take your believing black cable and hook it to the battery, and your believing red cable and, or your speaking red cable and hook it to the battery, the power in that thing, there's power in that thing to bring it to pass. There's power in that thing, but there has to be a connection made to that battery for that power to come forth. That's why we spoke about last week, remember, abiding in him, his word abiding in us. The connection between he and I has to be made so that the power in that word can bring itself to pass. There has to be a connective power between you and him. This rhema word is the same power spoken about in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit. This is sometimes noted as the only offensive weapon in the armor of God. Though, as I told you all a couple weeks ago, the breastplate of righteousness actually worked as an offensive weapon as well. This was a deadly weapon. This was considered to be a sword, for killing. It was a murderous weapon. It wasn't about just getting a little scratch or a little boo-boo. This wasn't just going to hurt them and take them down for a minute. The intention of the sword of the Spirit was to end the attack. It was about 19 inches long. And it was sharpened on both sides of the sword. And then the tip of the sword actually came up and was turned up just a little bit so that hopefully no one in here has a weak stomach. So so that when they put it into the enemy, they could twist and pull and it would cause their insides to come out. It was to end the attack of the enemy. The Rhema word isn't just to fight off or pawn off for a little while. It was to end the attack of the enemy. A Rhema word is supposed to get you to a place where there's no turning back, there's no turning right or left. There is one thing I'm moving ahead in, and that's victory. When I have that word abiding on the inside of me, the only outcome is victory. And so that sword is the word, they would say that it was distamos is the Greek word. That's a two-sided sword or a two-mouthed sword. And so the reason that Paul used this specific term was because it was sharp on both sides. The first side was sharpened by the word of the Lord coming into you. The second side is then sharpened by you speaking that word of the Lord out. And there it becomes a two-sided sword. We see that this very sword is so sharp that it can actually determine whether you're operating in your soul or the spirit. It is to be a direct weapon to take you to the next level. And sometimes we think that it has to be like this long, outrageous thing. No. It was a 19-inch blade, guys. I think that right there in itself is supposed to be the understanding. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out thing. It doesn't have to be something huge. Peter walked out on the word come. It's only four letters. I showed you on my fingers like you didn't know. Realized it after I did it, so I thought I'd just call it out. The sword of the Spirit is he speaks, you speak. He speaks, you speak. If you are having, if you're having trouble hearing the word of the Lord, if that's not something that's coming up on the inside of you, let me tell you that the sword hinges on the loin belt of truth. The sword hangs on the belt. You know him by knowing his word. And I'm not saying you have to know the entire Bible to hear from God. Absolutely not. I'm saying you need to get in there and start hearing what he's saying. Jesse and I were talking this morning and we were laughing because I said, you know, if someone told you, Danny said, I'm about to run a 10-mile thing and I'm all excited about it, that ain't Danny talking. I like to go to the gym. I like to lift weights. If someone told her Danny went and did leg day 3 days in a row, she'd probably believe that. But Danny does not run unless something is running after her. Running is a form of punishment as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not going to be any part of it. So if someone tells you Danny said she's going for a run, they're lying. I will say this. One time I told Amanda I would do a 5K with her, just because I felt like it was the friendly thing to do. I still wasn't excited about it, and they would have been lying to you if they said that I was, but I did say I would do it. So if anyone tells you that, that was me. I'll cough that up. But how do you know that? You know that about me. Jessie knows that about me because she knows me. We work out together. We spend time together. She knows the things that I would do and wouldn't do in that realm. You know someone by spending time with them. We have to fall in love with the Word of God again. The church needs to fall in love with the Word of God again. It's not about just hearing something that makes you feel good and going out all pumped up. No, it's about being in love with Jesus. It's about being in love with Jesus. And you do that by getting in His Word. This is God's heart on paper to you. This whole thing was every chapter, every verse, every part of this book has Jesus threaded through it. You find him in this book. And if you're like, when I read it, I just don't understand it. When I read it, I just find a different version. Preferably one that's accurate. If you need help knowing, there's several people in here who can help you with that. But the modern English version, Kenneth Copeland put out the modern English version. It's plain text. It's a great place to start. If you need one, I have one. I'll give it to you. The Passion Translation. Oh, I so enjoy the Passion Translation. If I am reading, apart from studying, just enjoying eating the Word, I really like the Passion Translation. There's such a love in that. It's so, so well written as the love story that it is. You have to fall in love with the Word. But you fall in love with the Word so you can hear the voice of God. They go hand in hand together so you can hear that rhema word spoken to you. Jesus was showing us all throughout the word how to defeat the enemy. From the moment he came, the Father spoke, he spoke. The Father gave instruction. He followed instruction. He moved in the flow of how to do this. Jesus was showing us as he commanded with power, how we're to command and defeat the enemy with power. Remember, the sword of the Spirit wasn't only to defend off the enemy. It was to end the attack. And in Matthew 4, we see this clearly. So I want to go over to Matthew 4 real quick, and we're just going to do verse 1. It says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Amen. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, the opportunity for Jesus to turn those stones into bread, he could have. We've seen him we saw him multiply bread. We know that a miracle with bread is not impossible. But I think what he was really showing us here is the Father did not tell me to do that. To live by every word, that word is the word rhema. It's that same connective word. It's that same word that is a distinct command from the Holy Spirit. That if the Father told me to turn these stones into bread, I would do it. But he didn't say. Sometimes we're really quick to think what we should say. Sometimes we're really quick to jump in and do and fix something. But if the Father didn't say, then we need to hold tight. Then we need to wait. It says he had went 40 days without eating. Do you not think that he was in a position where it seemed like it was time for an answer? I'll tell you, there's days where we get about 40 minutes and I tell Jordan, you better find something for me to eat or it's going to be really, really bad. We went to College Station on Friday to run some appointments, and there was a moment where I said, honey, I don't have any more in me. We have to find food. And everyone in the car just kind of went silent. And then I felt myself just turn completely inward, like if you talk to these people, it's going to be bad for everyone involved. So I found somewhere for us to eat, and we went to Texas Roadhouse. Oh. I don't know if I've ever ate a piece of bread faster in my entire life for the safety of my children and my husband. I felt like an animal who hadn't eaten 40 days. So needless to say, I was not fasting. There is a grace with fasting. There is a grace with fasting. When you are fasting because the Lord told you to fast, there is a grace that comes with it. I absolutely think that it is honorable. I absolutely think it's worthy. This is not at all my message, but fasting is about putting your spirit in ascendancy. And so there's a place where you come where your spirit takes charge, and the hunger is no longer an issue quite like it was that day when I ate bread to save my children. Not that I was going to eat my children, but... So we see here that Jesus used both the word of God, which was given to him as a rhema, to speak directly to end the attack of the enemy. We see this happen three times. In this scripture, he's quoting Deuteronomy 8:3, which says that he allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. A fresh connection is always necessary. It's always necessary for you to have fresh bread from the Lord. You should expect fresh bread every single day. The Lord Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. Every day you should expect fresh bread. Every day you should expect a rhema from the Lord. I'm not saying it's going to be life-changing, earth-shattering rhema from the Lord. Sometimes I wake up and he says to me, you know, last Tuesday he said to me, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. That was it. Well, that was a rhema word, not at that moment, but when we got to prayer Tuesday, that was a rhema word on time, on purpose for that prayer meeting. Wake up expecting to hear from God. Wake up hearing fresh. No one wants stale bread. Have you ate stale bread? It's terrible. It's like hard and crunchy. I mean, maybe if it's a crouton on a salad, but that's about it. Ramona's face says no. I love it. We have to have that fresh connection. And that's why the Lord gave them manna, bread from heaven. This was that very example. This was that very illustration. It says it was like white balls of coriander that came down. And if they left that for the next day, it was said to have been full of worms and it stinketh. Actually, I think it might have said stank, but I really like stinketh. It's the one King James Version word I'm really a fan of, stinketh. If the bread was not taken on the day it was assigned for, it became full of worms and it stinketh. Manna was to be fresh every single day with the exception of the Sabbath day. Every single day they were supposed to pick up to the full, pick up to what is satisfied. Every day you can have as much of Jesus as you want. Every day you can be full till satisfied. Every single day you can have a fresh dose of Jesus. Because the scripture tells us in John 6 that he is the bread of life. Every day should be your fresh connection with him. Every day you should want to know more about him. Every day you should want to be deeper in connection with him. Every day you should want to know what's on his mind. Moving further and deeper into that relationship, because his on-time word in that relationship is what's going to change your life. His on-time word of what he has to say to you today is what's going to change your life and very possibly change the person next to you's life and very possibly change the person at HEB's life and very possibly change the steward in your stateroom's life. If you saw Miss Deb led the stateroom butler or attendant to the Lord while they were on the cruise ship. the waitress that you go see change her life? One word of you being in that abiding relationship with the fresh bread of life. I don't know about you, but I really like some bread. I really like fresh bread. I really like fresh biscuits. Oh, biscuits. I mean, I hope y'all aren't hungry. Jesus is who we consume every day. Every day coming into communion with Him. Every day receiving a fresh way, His Word, the fullness, the satisfaction of who He is. The Word says that we receive all the fullness of God in Him. Every good thing we receive in Him. If it's in heaven, it's available to us right now. The fullness of God. The fullness of God. You will always remain hungry and thirsty if you just try to throw around the sword without the one who causes the blade to be sharp. Jesus is the bread of life, and He told us we are to live off every rhema word of God. We must know His specific word, hear His voice, and know the command He gives has the power in itself to bring itself to pass. As we understand the necessity to live our day-by-day life with fresh word connection from Him, we can do what's promised in Deuteronomy 8:1, which is where He's speaking this to them. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply, increase, go in, possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. It is by hearing His voice, knowing His command, a fresh daily connection with Him that we are able to go in and possess the land. It is the reason we train to reign. It is the reason we reign in this earth. We are called to take territory. 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 We're called to take the territory that's around us. We're called to control the atmosphere we belong to. We're called to control the atmosphere of the city we belong to. We're called to control the atmosphere of the state we belong to. We are called to possess the land. Occupy until He comes, it says. Not eat stale bread and hope you get by till the next day. We have a sword that will take the enemy out if we are in divine connection with Him. It will not just cause a slight boo-boo to his ego. One, he has already been defeated, and two, you will take him out completely. We are called to be ambassadors for His kingdom, walking, moving, and growing, expanding His kingdom. This is His family business. He called you to be a part of His family business. He called you to increase the stock of the family business. He called you to expand the territory of the family business. He called you to rule and reign in this earth. Really? Okay. Before we finish up in a nice, kind, sweet way, the Lord reminded me of this, devotional I read from Rick Renner, and I'm not going to pull it out and read the whole thing to you, but it said this, the title of it was called, Be Not Slothful in Business. So I'm going to say this for the family business. Some man asked him when he was over in Russia, he's still over there right now, as far as I know, unless he's traveling elsewhere, but that's where his home office is. They said, why are Christians so lazy? They talk a lot of talk, but they never want to do anything. And Rick Renner said, I wanted to argue with the guy, but I've seen a lot of it. We cannot be slothful about our family's business. We cannot just live on the stale bread of yesterday. We can't just live on the revivals of yesterday. We can't just live on the times when God moved before. We can't just be satisfied with what was. Faith is now. It's a present work right now. A moving, gaining, taking territory, expanding the business, expanding God's kingdom, reaching people right now. If we are truly to say that we're living in Jesus, if we're truly to say that we're abiding our daily lives in Him, if we're truly to say we're receiving fresh word from Him every day, there is absolutely no reason that my life should look exactly the same today as it did a year ago. There is absolutely no reason that there should not be more spiritual understanding today than there was a year ago. There should absolutely not be one person I spoke to in the last year about Jesus. There should at least be one. If I'm walking around as Jesus, He was here for 3 years, 3 years, and it says the things He did would not be able to be contained in books from the miracles He brought forth. I feel like we have some work to do. If we're called to do greater works than Jesus Himself, there's some work for us to do. We cannot be slothful about the Father's business. There is absolutely no reason why we should be here for 120 years and Jesus did more than we did in 3 years. If we are truly living and abiding, reigning in who He called us to be. We weren't called to just be followers in name only of Jesus. We were called to be like Him. We were called to do what He did. And even greater works. Amen. All right, I'll step off the soapbox. Reigning does not exist separate from abiding in Him. If you want to reign in life, if you want to take territory, if you want to see the will of the Father done, if you want to expand the kingdom, it requires us abiding in Him. It requires us spending time with Him. It's impressive if God sent Jesus down here as God. It's impressive what Jesus did if He came as God. But He didn't say that. He said He came as man. He came as a baby. He came as a man to show you how you could live. To show you what you were called to do. To show you how you could walk. You know, it says 85 times in the Word of God that it says the phrase Son of Man 85 times in the New Testament. I believe in the whole Bible. Do you know who said 83 of them? Jesus Himself. Jesus called Himself the Son of Man because He came here to show you how you could live as a Holy Spirit-filled believer, ruling and reigning in this life. He's so related to you as a man that He identified Himself that way so you would see, I identify with you. Jesus was saying to you, I identify with you. Watch what I do. Do it how I do it. Command the words that the way that I command them. Hear the Father's voice. Be in relationship with Me. Move with Me. I gave you My Spirit who is exactly like Me that you could flow just like I flow. And when you speak those words, there's power in that command. You believe that there is power in the word that he spoke to you. We get so quick to let off the gas. That's that same thing. Wait until the servant is done doing its work. Wait till the command is complete. Don't pull out of the garden so quickly. Amen? All right. He was so invested in living life with you and you living life with him that he repeatedly identified himself as the Son of Man so you would know how to live. We see ourselves how he sees us, righteous, sitting at the right hand of the Father in our right place, free of sin, guilt, and shame, boldly taking our place as child and heir. We bear abundant fruit, abiding in him and his word abiding in us, receiving answered prayer and bringing glory to the Father. We are focused in looking at him. Our who, what, and where all holds a focus on him. And we are looking into his eyes, moving closer and more of a divinely aligned with him, declaring we say what he says, knowing that we are in a constant relationship of depending our lives on him. So today I would like to declare, we, therefore, the representatives of Victory Church in this Sunday service, have assembled appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of Jesus Christ, solemnly publish and declare that these ambassadors are dependent on the one and only true God, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the kingdom of darkness, and that all political connection between them and the kingdom of darkness is and ought to be totally dissolved. And that as free, independent ambassadors, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliance, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which dependent ambassadors of Jesus may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor in Christ Jesus. Today we go out reigning in life in Christ Jesus and have declared our dependence on him.